You can see a lot of unfinished products, tools out, half-done things, and it's overwhelming. And what happens is something comes up that takes precedence, and a project gets delayed. And then my tools are here, there, and everywhere. Maybe you can relate. There are pieces from plumbing and trim from cabinets, and there are pieces of wood kindling and bikes and toys and pallets and gardening stuff and paint and car stuff and buckets of just stuff that is miscellaneous stuff. It's out of hand. And so I've been avoiding the inevitable that is needed to clean it up. Every time I go into my garage, I get frustrated even more. And the other day, I spent 30 minutes looking for a tool to fix my barbecue in order to make burgers for dinner. 30 minutes! And I was frustrated. And the longer I live, I realize how important it is to have the right tools for the project and to be able to find those tools for that project. And it also helps to have someone help me, or help, maybe you've had projects, it always helps to have someone help you through the struggle of getting that project done in order to accomplish it, because you can't always accomplish a project by yourself. And so yesterday, my wonderful wife and awesome kids went out into the war zone of my garage, and they helped dig out and organize the garage, and they put stuff away, they broke down boxes, they threw away stuff, and so on. And it is such a blessing to me, and I feel like, you know, I can go forward. I can move forward with getting the garage cleaned and organized and be able to find my tools again in a timely manner. Now, in life, we need tools, and we need resources, and we need help from others. And spiritually speaking, we need a breakthrough. Whether it is you personally that need a breakthrough, or that it is somebody that you know, one of your family members, or it's an acquaintance, someone that you work with, needs a breakthrough. And we all have struggles, and we all need help. And maybe you're thinking right now of some of those things. Maybe you need a kind of breakthrough in your life that is regards to your health. Or maybe it's your marriage. Or maybe there's a struggle with an addiction or lust or depression or finances. Maybe there's a struggle with anger or bitterness, or maybe there's something that's inside that's unforgiveness. Or maybe it's your career. You're struggling with some of those things. Some of the spiritual tools that I have used in my struggles, in my life, are scripture that I have prayed millions of times, these verses, and I'll give you three this morning. Scripture is not only a tool, but it is a weapon to fight against the enemy, to fight against those things that are struggles, to be able to have a breakthrough, whether it's I've had, you know, hurtful thoughts towards other people, or wanting that is damaging to my self-esteem, thinking things that are not right, whether it's lustful or a wrong philosophy or codependent thinking. These scriptures, these three scriptures that I want to give you, have been so impactful in my life. Maybe they'll be impactful for you, but you can find other scriptures in the Bible, in God's Word, and use them to impact struggles, to have breakthrough, to fight against the enemy. The first one is 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I usually remember the last part. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That means if you have a song in your head and you want to get rid of that song because it's annoying and it's maybe it has bad words, whatever, it is something that you are tired of singing in your head, tired of going through your head over and over again, what do? You replace it with another song. So you take captive and you make it obedient to Christ. You take captive whatever thought is bouncing around your head in circles that is not of God, and you make it obedient to Christ. The second one is Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So these things that you struggle with, that we all struggle with in our minds, that are not godly, that are maybe not helpful, that are maybe struggling with our own self-esteem, and they come in, and don't tell me you don't have these, because I've talked with some of you, and I've talked with other people. Everybody that I've ever met has struggled with, whether it's negative thoughts or whatever. The enemy wants to bring those thoughts to you, and God tells us to use His Word, to pray through it, to find breakthrough. And so whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about such things. The third one is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I, Matt Coleman, you can put your name in there, can do all things through Christ. Not through myself, not through my brother, not through my sister, not through my friend, but through Christ. Okay, so Scripture is God's Word. And it is the authority and it is the power from Him given to us to find breakthrough, to be able to find, to be able to conquer any struggle that we face. And so when we look at Scripture, we can see that there are patterns of prayer, and we can take note of that. We can put it into practice, just like we've been doing with the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed it, and he told the disciples how to pray, and that was a pattern. But you can look at other people in God's Word, like Daniel, and you can see a pattern of prayer that he prayed. Daniel was a man of God. He prayed on a regular basis, 3 times a day. He got himself in trouble for praying often, and he would pray a certain pattern. You'd do it 3 times a day, but he would have a specific way of doing that. And so when we look at his prayer life, we can see how everything he did in prayer gave him courage and strength in God to persevere and to conquer whatever he faced. Everything we do today, everything that we pray for today can give us courage and strength for tomorrow. I'll say it again. Everything that we pray today can give us courage and strength for tomorrow. And so praying like Daniel will give us the ability to break through things in our life. Last week, we heard from Rob Roy, and he talked about the internal war, and he talked about the external war. And in order for us to fight the external war, in order for us to be able to even confront it or conquer the external war, we have to deal with the internal war first. And we have to conquer that. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. And so, and through prayer, we can break through that internal war. And so how do we do that? Through prayer. Praying breakthrough prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. And so when we get God's Word and we hide it in our hearts, we learn it, we we pray it, it can do amazing things. Daniel prayed with humility. He prayed, he worshiped, he prayed prayers of confession, and he prayed prayers of petition, praying for others. And so we're going to look at Daniel here for a few minutes. If you want to turn to Daniel 9, and if you know Daniel is a man that saw many visions, God showed him all these visions, and he was disturbed by these visions, and in some ways he was depressed by these visions, and yet he prayed through and conquered his discouragement, his fear that he may have faced. And so in Daniel 9, verse 2, it gives us our first point, and that is to turn our attention towards God and listen. When you first start praying, stop and turn towards the Lord and listen. Be still and know that I am God. Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And so Daniel understood, he read scripture, he meditated on it, he understood, according to God's word, given to Jeremiah, that this would happen. And so when you come to the Lord, when you pray, the best thing to start with is God's word. Open his word up, read it, and listen. Ask God to speak. Start your day turning yourself towards him and listening. That could also be at the end of your day. In some cultures, the beginning of the day is the night, and you start your day at night. And then you go to sleep and you have good thoughts on your brain, right? John 15:7, Jesus said this, "Remain in me, and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." So God's word, he needs to remain in us. Whatever you ask for, it will be done. And so when we know God's word and we pray God's word, things happen. Rick Warren says, the more you fill your mind with scripture, the more your prayers will be answered because you will be praying according to God's will. Because God's word is his truth and it is also his will. Daniel 9:3 says he turned to the Lord. He set his face toward the Lord. He directed his attention to the Lord. There's a few verses that remind us of that. Seek him first. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. And so when we seek the Lord, when we truly set our attention on him, when we seek him, we will find him. Jeremiah 29:13 says the same thing. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so the first thing is turn your attention to God and listen. He wants to speak. He's speaking already. His word is there. It's truth. It holds everything that you could possibly need in this world and to be able to find a breakthrough in your life. The second thing is humbly confess your sins. In Daniel 9:5, it says, "We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws We have not listened to your servants, and the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princesses, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Verse 7, and then Daniel reminds us and reminds himself who the Lord is. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princesses, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. In other words, Lord, you are faithful and we are not. We are unfaithful, and Lord, you are faithful. Confession starts with us. It starts with us realizing when we come to the Lord and we sit there for a minute or two or a few minutes and we read his word or we just bask in his in the sense that he is God, something happens. God reminds us that we are not God. And sometimes he nudges us and says, there's something that you need to make right with me. And that is to confess something, confess some sin, to confess your rebellion against me. And you know what happens when we do that? Our relationship is actually improved. We actually get closer to God when we confess. Repentance means turning 180. And so every time I confess my sins to God, which, yes, he forgives. Sorry, I'm not sure why that. Yes, he forgives, but we need to ask for forgiveness. Daniel was also aware of the sins of his nation and his people. And he took it upon himself to ask for forgiveness for the sins of his nation. It's kind of interesting. We're kind of in the same place. We have a list of sins that we could confess for our nation to the Lord. And so he added himself in the equation. He and his nation confess their sins to the Lord. He humbly prayed this prayer in Daniel 9:20-23. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, your word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. In other words, when we turn our attention towards God and listen, and when we confess our sins, when we are humble and we confess our sins because the Holy Spirit has said, hey, this is something that you need to make right, he hears our prayers. He forgives us, and we may not hear the answer to the prayers that we pray, but he hears our prayers, and he doesn't leave us out to dry. And so, turn your attention towards God and listen, and humble yourself in confession, just like Daniel did. The third thing is, thank him for his love and promises. Daniel did this in this passage. He prayed in verse 4. He prayed to the Lord my God, and he confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. God's promises never fail. His love is unfailing. And so one of the promises is if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And so thank Him for the forgiveness. It's like that, you know, inhale, exhale. You know, you exhale your confession and you inhale His forgiveness. It's just an exercise, but it helps you remember that every time you confess, there is God's forgiveness that you can receive. And this is not, this is not a salvation thing that I'm talking about. This is just your relationship with God. He's already forgiven you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are saved. But this is a regular, everyday, Lord, we need You. We confess our sins, and He will forgive us and cleanse us. Thank Him for His unfailing love. Daniel 9:9 says, Daniel says, "The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him." Being thankful tends to be easy to do, but it is not necessarily a regular thing that we do. So it's not regularly done, but it's easy to do. For instance, some days we get grumpy. We get discouraged. We get focused on things that maybe are not as important. And we get needy, don't we? And we have items that we want dealt with. And we want comfort. And we want things to go the way we want them to go. But if only those times we have those feelings or grumpiness or discouragement, if only we would be thankful for what God has already done for us and thankful for what He's given us and thankful for His presence and thankful for this and that, we would find ourselves in a different mental state, wouldn't we? We'd find ourselves in a different, maybe even a positive, upbeat, encouraging perspective. And so being thankful to the Lord for His love and His promises and forgiveness. So number one, turn your attention towards God and listen. Humble yourself by confessing your sins. And then number three, thank Him for His love and promises. The fourth thing that Daniel does is he expresses his desires with emotion. He's passionate about what he wants to see happen in the spiritual realm. He earnestly pleads with God. I can remember back a long time ago when we had a dilemma or a crisis, and we're going to talk about praying in crises next week. But I remember we were traveling to, we were living in New Jersey, we were traveling to Ohio for a wedding. And as we were traveling towards Ohio, we were going to stay at Susan's friend's parents' guest house for this wedding. And as we're crossing the border of Pennsylvania and West Virginia, we're in the middle of nowhere, and it's 9:30 at night, it's dark, and we have Emily in the back in her car seat. And we look back, Susan looks back, and we see that Emily is pale blue, not responsive, and we had one of those passionate, earnest prayers. As we were freaking out, we're praying passionately, "Oh Jesus, help, please. Help Emily. Please save her life. Lord, just help us find a hospital." And as we drive to the next exit, we get off the exit, we drive across the freeway, and there's a little gas station. I run inside. The lady probably thought I was about ready to rob her because of my traumatic tone with her. And she had no clue where the hospital was. So I get back in the car. We cross over. And as we're praying, again, earnestly, passionately, traumatically praying, as we're getting onto the freeway, an ambulance is getting onto the freeway right in front of us. And what would you do? Speed up, flash your lights, honk your horn, and as they noticed that we were doing that, they pulled to the side of the road, and they get out, and they walk towards us or run towards us. I can't remember what. We tell them what's going on. They come and check Emily. She's not responsive. And so they unbuckle her. They take her to the ambulance. Susan goes along with them, and I'm driving the car behind the ambulance. What took 20 minutes possibly felt like an hour or two. And as we're driving to the hospital, I'm praying one of those prayers. One of those passionate, I don't care what people think, tears down my face, Lord, please save Emily. Please do not allow her to die. Please, please, please. Have you had one of those prayers? Have you prayed earnestly one of those prayers? I'm sure you have. And I just want to reassure you that God hears those prayers. God can handle your words. God can handle your emotions. Well, we found out that Emily had roseola and her fever spiked and put her into a seizure. And I won't go into all the details, but it was a tough weekend learning to rely on God through prayer. We prayed passionate prayers, and when we pray passionate prayers, we sometimes want change. We want something to happen. We want the answer for someone who is dear to us. Daniel earnestly pleaded with God for his people to be forgiven, to be released from bondage. For 70 years, he prayed for them to be released and forgiven. And so we'll hear about what happens next. But when was the last time you earnestly prayed for God to intervene? My guess is probably when you were in a bind. Probably when you were traumatically in a situation, in a crisis, in a difficulty. So what I want to continue to tell you is when we go to God, when we present ourselves to God, turn our attention to Him and listen. Humbly confess your sins, because if you're not confessing your sins, that will hinder your prayer. Maybe not Him hearing you, but maybe Him getting the answer to you. I'm not sure which is first, or even that's a spiritual thing that you have to ask God how that works. But we can see evidence in Daniel 9 why things might happen. So the third thing is thank Him for His love and His promises. And then the fourth is express your desires with passion. Express your desires with emotion. Don't try and dupe God. Don't try and fake it. He does not care. He cares about you. But just be real with Him. And the last one is the fifth one. Demonstrate your seriousness. Demonstrate your seriousness. Daniel 3 says that he put sackcloth on and he sat in ashes. Now, when was the last time you did that? The point is that he took away comforts from himself of this life because he was serious about hearing from God. He was serious about getting an answer from God. How serious are you about getting an answer from God? Keep praying. Now, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know this. Scripture tells us this. We've experienced this. But when we pray, God hears our prayers. But sometimes the answer to our prayer is delayed. There's a hindrance because the enemy is working hard to hinder things in this spiritual world. Have you ever tried to get a project done in a timely manner, but it just keeps being delayed and hindered because you're trying to accomplish the goal and something else breaks and something else gets in the way? And you know that things always take longer than you might think. The plumbing of whatever, you know, doing plumbing, you're always going to the store three times. I don't know why three, but there's always that third time that you get it. Working on cars, there's always that you have to borrow a tool from a friend or you have to watch YouTube to get the answer. In Daniel 10, we see what happens in the spiritual realm. That Daniel had prayed and he had sought the Lord and he'd done this pattern of prayer. He'd confessed his sins and he'd thanked the Lord and he prayed earnestly. But this is what happened. Daniel 10, verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine. None of that touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the third week was over. So he sacrificed the comforts of life to show God that he was serious. God always hears our prayers. And in this situation, he sent angels to provide. But there were hindrances. The angels fought and they pressed through because of Daniel's prayers. And then the angel came with this answer, verse 12. He came and said to Daniel, "Do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, big angel, right? The one of the chief princesses came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come." So it turns out, dilemmas are not just in our lives, but in the angels that fight in the spiritual realm. It's a whole nother level, but they have dilemmas too. And they have places to be, and they have messages to get out, because God is sending these messages out. And Daniel had to fast and pray for 21 days, but he had not heard from God. The dilemmas that the angels ran into were spiritual. They were demons. And was being delaying the answer. It wasn't 30 minutes. It was 3 weeks. And so he had to fight, the angel had to fight rulers and principalities of the air in order to bring Daniel the answer that he was seeking. I love the fact that in right before verse 12, he said, "Daniel, don't be afraid. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer." It's a great reminder that when we do pray, that God does hear us. That, in fact, He does answer us, but yet we don't hear the answer. We don't get the response. Sometimes it's delayed. There are dilemmas and hurdles in delivering that answer. And so the point is, we cannot give up praying. Even though it hasn't been answered, or we don't think that it's been answered. Because there's a spiritual battle going on. We don't see it. It causes delays. Daniel got his answer in 3 weeks. Some of us, it has been years. It has been decades, and we haven't heard the answer yet. But I want to encourage you this morning that even though you haven't heard the answer, even though you haven't had the breakthrough, even though we see the nation going into the pit, or we see the world spiraling around in chaos, we need to continue to pray and press on, because the answer will come. And the more we pray, the more the angels will fight, and God's victory will come. Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Don't quit seeking God in your prayers. We have no idea why answers don't come as quickly as we'd like. And just God's angels, just like God's angels was determined to get to Daniel with an answer, we need to be determined to keep praying and to fast if we need to get God's answer. Now, we can't control the length of God's answer, but we can control the continuation of our praying. And so I want to encourage you not to give up. Don't give up praying. Turn your attention towards God and listen. Humbly confess your sin. Thank Him for that forgiveness. Thank Him for His love and His mercy. Express your desires with passion. And then demonstrate your seriousness. I want to conclude with this story. A few weeks ago, I had heard of this story where this pastor prayed for his grandfather. And I've heard other stories like this where people have prayed over and over again for years for someone to come to know Jesus. And Pastor Robert Morris shares in this little short video a powerful prayer story of his grandfather. And I don't think, I would rather him tell you the story, because he tells it from first person. It's his story. So I'd like him to tell it to you. So let's watch.
I told you a few weeks ago about George Mueller praying 63 years for his friend. I told you last weekend about a woman that prayed 42 years for her husband. Some of you heard the story about how my grandfather came to the Lord. Some of you haven't. But there was a man that prayed for my grandfather for 40 years. There was a time in my grandfather's life when he worked for the Texas Department of Transportation. His job was to put asphalt in potholes. That was his job. And for a season, he worked with a man named Ray Alexander. And Ray Alexander was a Christian, and he shared Christ with my grandfather, who did not know anything about the Lord. And one night, one day, my grandfather said, "I'd like to hear more about this." And so Ray said to him, "Well, why don't you come over to my house after dinner, and I'll share with you some more and show you some verses in the Bible." So my grandfather said, "Okay." So that night after dinner, he got ready to go, and my father had just turned 16 and just gotten his driver's license. So he said to my grandfather, when my grandfather started to go, he said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to talk to a man at work about some things." And my father said, "Can I drive you?" He just wanted to drive. So my grandfather said, "Yes, but you have to stay outside while we talk." So he drove him over there, and my grandfather went in, and my father went and sat on the steps of the front porch. And back in those days, no air conditioning, so the door was open, but the screen door was closed. And for the first time ever, at 16 years of age, my father heard the gospel. Had never heard that Jesus was the Son of God and that died for his sins. Never heard it. And the man, Ray Alexander, said to my grandfather, "Would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" And my grandfather said, "No. I'd like to think about it for a while." And then Ray said, "Well, if you ever decide to give your life to Jesus, you need to pray a prayer like this." And he told him the sinner's prayer. And as he told my grandfather, my father, sitting on the steps, prayed the prayer and gave his life to the Lord. My father was the oldest of three brothers. One of he had two brothers, all right? The oldest of two brothers, I should say, oldest of three sons. Three boys in the families, all, no girls. One of the brothers committed suicide. The other brother died a few months after getting out of prison. My father was the only believer in his family. 16 years of age, went to college, the only one to go to college. Started a company. God blessed him. Became a huge giver to the kingdom of God. Raised me in a Christian home. I accepted the Lord. I went into ministry. Many, many people have accepted the Lord now. Because a man that put asphalt in potholes shared with another man, and he thought, as far as he knew, he said no. A few years after I came to know the Lord, I got concerned about my grandfather. So I started praying. We had a family reunion coming up, and I started praying I'd get to talk to him about the Lord. And so at that family reunion, God orchestrated a time for us to be alone in a room, and I started sharing the Lord with my grandfather. And my grandfather told me, he said, a man told me this 40 years ago, and I've always regretted that I didn't give my life to the Lord. And I said, you can give your life to the Lord today. And I led my grandfather to the Lord. He was 78 years old. He lived until he was 82 years old. And we saw a change in his life. After he passed away, I thought to myself, I wonder if the guy, Ray Alexander, that witnessed to him is still alive. And I just felt like I needed to call him. So I called Directory Assistant. This is before we had the internet. That's how we used to have to get phone numbers. We had to call and ask people. And I got his number, and I called him, and he answered the phone. He was 81 years old. And I said to him, do you remember Joe Morris? And he said, yes, I still pray for him to this day. And I said, well, I'm his grandson. Did you know that my father accepted Christ that day on the steps? He said, I didn't know that. And he started to cry. I told him, I'm a minister, and many people have come to know the Lord now, but it's all because you shared the gospel. I said, you said you still prayed for my grandfather to this day. Well, why do you still pray for him? Listen to this. He said, in the back of my Bible, I have all of the names of the men that I've shared Christ with. And I pray for every man until he accepts Christ. And when he accepts Christ, I put a check beside his name. And your grandfather was the only name in the back of my Bible that didn't have a check beside it. And when I get off the phone, I'm going to put a check beside your grandfather's name. Prayer works.
Isn't that a powerful story? And I've heard many of those. Those stories where we pray and years later, the answer comes. So, keep on praying. Keep on praying. However our prayers, they are heard. Our prayers in Christ are powerful weapons. Our prayers in Christ bring breakthrough. So turn your attention to the Lord. Confess your sins. Thank Him for His forgiveness and His love. Express your prayers with passion and demonstrate your seriousness. And keep praying. Keep praying.